They were standing on a hill, and as Meg looked about her, she felt that it could easily be a hill on Earth. There were the familiar trees she knew so well at home, birches, pines, maples. And though it was warmer than it had been when they so precipitously left the apple orchard, there was a faintly autumnal touch to the air. Near them were several small trees with reddened leaves, very like sumac, and a big patch of goldenrod-like flowers. As she looked down the hill, she could see the smokestacks of a town, and it might have been one of any number of familiar towns. There seemed to be nothing strange, or different, or frightening in the landscape. But Mrs. Wutsit came to her and put an arm around her comfortingly. "I can't stay with you here, you know, love," she said. "You three children will be on your own. We will be near you. We will be watching you. But you will not be able to see us or to ask us for help, and we will not be able to come to you."
"But is Father here?" Meg asked tremblingly.
"Yes."
"But where? When will we see him?"
She was poised for running, as though she were going to sprint off immediately to wherever her father was.
"That I cannot tell you. You will just have to wait until the propitious moment." Charles Wallace looked steadily at Mrs. Wutsit. "Are you afraid for us?"
"A little."
"But if you weren't afraid to do what you did when you were a star, why should you be afraid for us now?"
"But I was afraid," Mrs. Wutsit said gently.
She looked steadily at each of the three children in turn.
"You will need help," she told them, "but all I am allowed to give you is a little talisman. Calvin, your great gift is your ability to communicate with all kinds of people. So for you, I will strengthen this gift. Meg, I give you your faults."
"My faults?" Meg cried.
"Your faults."
"But I'm always trying to get rid of my faults."
"Yes," Mrs. Wutsit said. "However, I think you'll find they'll come in very handy on Camazotz. Charles Wallace, to you I can give only the resilience of your childhood." From somewhere Mrs. Hu's glasses glimmered, and they heard her voice. "Calvin," she said, "a hint. For you, a hint. Listen well. For that he was a spirit too delicate to act their earthy and abhorred commands, refusing their grand hests, they did confine him by help of their most potent ministers, and in their most unmitigable rage, into a cloven pine, within which rift, imprisoned, he did painfully remain." Shakespeare, The Tempest.
"Where are you, Mrs. Hu?" Charles Wallace asked. "Where is Mrs. Witch?"
"We cannot come to you now," Mrs. Hu's voice blew to them like the wind.
"Allwissend bin ich nicht, doch viel ist mir bewusst, Goethe.
I do not know everything. Still, many things I understand."
"That is for you, Charles. Remember that you do not know everything."
Then the voice was directed to Meg. "To you I leave my glasses, little blind as a bat. But do not use them, except as a last resort. Save them for the final moment of peril." As she spoke, there was another shimmer of spectacles, and then it was gone, and the voice faded out with it. The spectacles were in Meg's hand. She put them carefully into the breast pocket of her blazer, and the knowledge that they were there somehow made her a little less afraid.
"To all three of you, I give my command,"
Mrs. Switch said.
"Go down into the town. Go together. Do not let them separate you. Be strong."
There was a flicker, and then it vanished. Meg shivered.